Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today we journey to San Diego, California. It's not too much of a journey, for me at least. And we have our special guest, Stephen Keeley. And we'll tell you a little bit about Stephen, and then we'll tell you a little bit about San Diego. So Stephen is 61 years old. He was born and raised in New York City, Forest Hills, Queens. So we both have that in common as well. I'm a Brooklyn boy, but I know Forest Hills very well. He grew up in the 70s and 80s. Sounds familiar. In New York City during the peak of the AIDS crisis. This was a very scary time, but the gay community rallied together to remove that stigma that was associated with HIV and AIDS. After high school, he began working in the airline industry as a customer service representative. This led him to a job transfer to Fort Lauderdale, Florida in 1985. And I was visiting Fort Lauderdale in 1985 around there quite often. I remember those days too. Your face looks a little familiar too. I'm telling you, Stephen. I don't know. Maybe, who knows? Anyway, he spent 10 years in South Florida where he met his former partner. Together, they moved to San Diego in 1995 as a result of a job transfer. Their partnership ended in 2005. However, they remain great friends to this day. It was also during that time that he enrolled in school to obtain his degree in education. In 2002, he started his career as a teacher. He has been teaching at the same school since 21 years. Wow, that's a long time. Kudos to you. He met his current husband, Curtis, on a vacation in Florida in 2012. He lived in Philadelphia at the time, and he maintained a long-distance relationship for 2 years until he moved to San Diego in 2014. They were married in 2019. He also works in education, and as they plan for their retirement, one of the priorities is to continue their love of traveling, particularly cruises. Their goal is to retire in 2025. Yeah, a lot of people love their cruising thing. In fact, we have some people that just, that's all they do is they retired on a cruise ship.
Yeah, you either love it or you hate it, but
you're right.
We both love it.
You love it. That's a good thing. Yeah. So, okay, we'll talk a little bit about that. Let me tell you a little bit about San Diego. San Diego is one of my favorite places on this earth. It has great climate. It has just about everything that somebody would want living in a nice sized city. So San Diego is the second largest city in California with a population of over 1.4 million people. I hope that's correct. The city is known for its beautiful beaches, mild climate, and vibrant culture. San Diego has a large LGBTQ plus population with an estimated 120,000 LGBTQ residents in the county. Interesting. The LGBTQ plus community in San Diego is very active with a variety of events, organizations, and resources available. The city has a variety of housing options for retirees, including apartments, condos, and single family homes. The cost of living in San Diego is high, but there's also many affordable neighborhoods and suburbs. And I always say, you know what? You get what you pay for too. So it's give and take there. You may say some, cost of living is high, but you kind of get a lot for your money. So Stephen, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming. We do appreciate it. And tell the audience your story of where you moved from and what made your decision to move to San Diego.
Sure. Well, first off, thank you for inviting me. And yeah, like I said, you actually said in my bio, I moved here in 1995 from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And, you know, I was living a very simple life in Fort Lauderdale back then. As you said, you remember those times, and perhaps we have come across our paths crossed at some point.
You never know.
But in the 80s, when I moved there, and I was there for 10 years, I didn't think I'd leave. But the partner that I was with at the time, he got a job in San Diego, and I thought to him, and we were only together a few years. And I took a trip out with him, and I said, you know what? Why not? I always loved California. I had a brother who still lives in Santa Monica, but I always loved California. I said, what a great opportunity. And I said, that was the time I was going to go to school. So it was like perfect timing, a perfect life change, a move geographically. I started school and I absolutely fell in love with San Diego. I always said to myself, at some point in my previous life, I must have been on the West Coast because I just fell in love with it and I felt like I was home.
That was like when I first visited San Diego for the first time, I was like, oh my God, I want to live here.
Yeah. The only thing that freaked me out coming from Florida, where it's like literally flat, it took me a good 2 years to get used to driving here because of all the hills and the curves and it was quite a shock, but that's what drew me to it, is just the complete opposite of the East Coast.
Yeah. It's definitely not boring.
Yeah.
I mean, Florida is just flat, and don't get me wrong, I love South Florida. Uh-huh. I love, you know, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, you know, that whole South Florida, Wilton Manors type thing. But there's something about California that kind of goes to my heart, you know. I maybe it's the safety thing. I feel more comfortable, I guess, maybe there. I don't know. But anyway, okay. So tell our audience geographically, where is San Diego located within the state of California?
Well, when you look at California, San Diego's the furthest south you can go. As a matter of fact, we're 15 miles from the Mexican border. And it's very common for people who live in Tijuana to commute every day to work in San Diego. So we're literally at the southern border of California. And it's interesting because when people think of California, the beaches, San Diego geographically is a desert. So climate-wise, we're a desert community. So the weather associated with it, where we are as far as we have, like they call it, we have four different weather zones. So when you watch the news, you're like, okay, what's the weather going to be? They're going to tell you what it's on the coast, inland, mountains, and desert. There's four different weather zones, and they can vary drastically. And it's quite common for you to be at the beach in February and maybe 70 degrees, and you drive 45 miles inland, and you can go snowboarding. Hmm. So it's quite diverse as far as when it comes to weather as well. But yeah, we're right at the end of the road in California.
Okay, and that's going to bring me to segue in a little bit later into also whether you guys do you cross the border often, and do you get any medical, like dental work done in Mexico?
Years ago, it was much easier to cross the border. You could just go across with your driver's license. And I can remember when I first moved here, a big thing to do is you would go down to a place called Puerto Nuevo, which is known for lobster. So you would get this beautiful lobster meal for like $10, and you're like right on the ocean. Wow. And you could do this. Times have changed politically, as you know. And now in order to cross, you need a passport. And it's very difficult to come back in because of the border wait. Hmm. So whenever we go down now, we go down with people who have what they call a sentry pass, which is sort of like a fast pass to get back into the country. So when we go, I'll drive down with locals or people who have dual citizenship. And I feel much safer, number one, because times have changed. And just to get back into the country, it's much quicker. But there are people, like you said, medically, people do. Fortunately, I have very good health insurance here in California, so there's no need for me to go. But I do know people that go down, especially for dental, like crowns or, you know, major, major dental work, which in most cases, most insurance maybe will cover 50%. There's also people that talk about the lipo and all the other, you know, Botox and all this other stuff. And it can be a little scary because you hear stories. You hear stories, people go down for some sort of a facelift or some sort of augmentation. And the next thing you know, they've been injected with crazy stuff. So people do do it. It's common, but it, I would say if anyone is thinking about do it, to definitely research it.
Yeah,
but it is a lot cheaper. It's crazy. Literally, you just walk across the border and the cost of living and medical is so much cheaper.
That's what I hear. I hear like people, even from Phoenix, as far as Phoenix, they go down to the border. They go to Yuma and then cross over there and go into Mexico. And there's like a line of dentists' offices that they just can go in and, you know, get something done for a really inexpensive amount. But anyway, back to San Diego. Tell us about, you were talking about it's a desert climate. So I remember going there. It very rarely rains. Of course, it did rain when we were there because, you know, of course it's going to rain when I go somewhere. But anyway, it is a desert climate, so you don't get that much rain. Is that correct? Like it never rains in California.
It, interestingly enough, people, when they say that, and then you watch the news and we have all these flash floods, so it does rain. Our average, I want to say our average is about 11 inches a year. But this past year, we had a lot of rain, a lot of rain. And like I said, the desert, unlike when I lived in Florida, it rained all the time and the ground just absorbs all the rain. But here, the ground is all rock and desert. So it's a runoff. And that's why you see all these mudslides and things.
And floods.
But I mean, typically, there are times where I don't remember the last time it rained because it's such a long gap. Our rainy season is really like the winter months. So like maybe December through February. Once in a while, we'll get similar to you in Arizona. We'll get like a tail end of the monsoons in Arizona and maybe in the summertime. So maybe one day in the summer, we might have this huge torrential thunderstorm, but that's about it. And it is very dry. But the beauty is, I remember when I moved here from Florida, the apartment that I moved into, we didn't have air conditioning. I was like, what do you mean there's no air conditioning? Because literally, it'll be maybe 70, 75 during the day, and it cools down to like 60 at night. So whenever friends would visit, I'd be like, you may want to bring a little sweater at night. They're like, what are you talking about? The minute the sun sets, it's what I call built-in air conditioning. The humidity level is very low. There's no humidity. It's very dry.
Like Phoenix.
Yeah, it's very, very dry. But it's, you know, the summer months here, the best, I would say if anyone's visiting, the best months are really September and October because you're guaranteed sunshine. It's usually a little bit warmer because those are that's the time of year where you have what they call the Santa Ana winds. So the winds are blowing in from the desert rather than the ocean. It's also our fire season, but that's another story. But yeah, it's the weather, you can't beat it.
You
really can't beat it.
I remember, I think it was the first time I went to San Diego. It was in October for Peter and my birthday, both in October. And we were really surprised. I mean, it was gorgeous during the day. It could have been like high 70s, maybe low 80s, maybe. But at night, I was really shocked because we were walking around and I don't think we brought we did bring a car. We rented a car, but we were walking around at night and it was chilly. It was really chilly. Like we needed a sweatshirt.
Yeah. You can always tell the tourists here because they're the ones in shorts and t-shirts.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So, okay. So yeah, the weather is one of the most beautiful climates that I know of in the United States. So
yes,
definitely. So are there any quick getaways in the summer? It sometimes gets really hot.
It does. We have a period where it'll get like in the 80s and 90s inland, but you know, very rarely along the coast you get in the 90s. I mean, the other thing is the ocean temperature rarely gets above 70, so it's the ocean is very, very chilly. But on the times that it is hot in the summer, let's say, literally you could drive 40 minutes up into the mountains, and one place a lot of people go is called Julian. It's this old mining village up in the mountains, and it's absolutely beautiful. So you can go up into the mountains where it's a lot cooler. And the cool thing is in the winter, when it might be a little chilly, you drive 2 hours and you're in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
So it's like, for example, this past month, June, even May, we have what they call May gray and June gloom. It's just like complete overcast, sort of like San Francisco fog. Mm-hmm. And it's literally, it's the longest bout we've had. We haven't had the sun out in such a long time. But you could drive an hour away and you're in Borrego Springs and it's 100 degrees. So it's like,
wow.
It's just one of these magical places where, like, okay, I can't stand the clouds. I can't stand, boom, you just drive
get
somewhere.
Away.
And yeah. Yeah. So there are ways to escape either the clouds or the heat.
That's great. So how about living in an LGBTQ community? We know that San Diego does have one, right?
Mm-hmm. It's Hillcrest.
Hillcrest.
So Hillcrest is the famous one. So a lot of advertisement, anything you see in any of the gay rags or anything, you're going to see the Hillcrest sign, which is sort of like, it's like each neighborhood has this big sign that hangs over there. Anyway, the Hillcrest sign. And I remember when I first moved here, I lived within that area. So it's a walking little village, and the shops, the restaurants, the bars, the clubs, and it's a very, 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 very tight scene as far as communities go. But there are other areas where, you know, there's North Park, there's even downtown now. We have different parts of downtown where a lot of people are moving to. You have some of the residential areas, but as far as like a social aspect, like our Gay Pride, which is in July, interesting, it's in July because of our June gloom and the weather. They moved it to July because they guarantee that it'll be sunnier. So that's a little tidbit there. We moved our Gay Pride because of the weather in June. But Gay Pride marches its way through Hillcrest. So that's like the main hub, and there's always something going on. I think even today there's an event. I think there's a Trans Pride event today, or a rally or some sort of event I saw in the news this morning. But there's always something going on in Hillcrest, and it's a great starting point. And for folks that are visiting here, it's a great place to ask the locals, you know, what's going on, where to go. And like I said, it's a safe place.
I liked walking around there. I remember, you know, me with food. So I remember walking around to this dessert place. There was a dessert place on a corner somewhere. I don't know if you remember. I'm talking about.
Is it Baby Cakes?
That's it.
Baby Cakes.
I think that's it.
Yeah. Yep. They're known for their
the
cupcakes.
Little cakes.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Baby Cakes.
Yep.
Yep.
So that was really good. So what area, may I ask, do you live in? Is it in Hillcrest?
No, I'm right now, the area that I live in is, it's considered, I guess it's more of a residential area. I live in an area called San Carlos. So for example, from where I live to Hillcrest, it's 12 miles. So it's literally a 15-minute drive. Okay. And it's more residential here. I'm at the base of Cowles Mountain, which is one of the highest peaks in San Diego. And it's a great hiking trail. If you like hiking, San Diego is great for hiking. But it's chill where I live. I need to be at this stage in my life. I need to be chill.
Is it like suburb?
It's a suburb. Yeah. It's more, you know, like the high school.
Like
schools
Long right Island? Up.
Like it's like Long Island instead
Long
of going
Island.
Into Long Island. It's very long. Yeah. It is. And okay. Like I said, we're 15 minutes from everything.
Okay, cool. So are there other LGBTQ people living in your area?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I know, like when I go to the grocery store, and interesting, you'll see a lot of families out in this area. So you'll see two moms, two dads with their kids, and it's very common.
I like it.
Yeah.
You see any rainbow flags?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, the condo community next to us, as you drive by, you can see like four hanging from the balcony. They put them up for the month of June.
Love it. Yeah. For Pride.
Yeah.
Good.
So it's like I said, it's no matter where you go, you really feel safe here. And put it this way, in my experience, that's how it's been. I'm sure, you know, there's some areas where it might not be, but for the most part, if you stay on the beaten path, you're fine.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah, San Diego is definitely a place I was looking at as far as, you know, could that be my retirement place? Because it pretty much had everything that I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. We know about Hillcrest. And where are the gay bars? Are they mostly in Hillcrest, or can you find them scattered throughout San Diego?
The main ones are in Hillcrest, but like I said, the other area is North Park, which is the next area over from Hillcrest. But that's the main, that's where you're going to find most of them, is in that area, North Park and Hillcrest.
Are there many of them?
There are. There's a lot to choose from. There's not a lot of like dance clubs, like maybe you see back east. A lot of the clubs here, or the places, they're more like establishments where you can eat. So they'll have, you go out for dinner, but there might be a show at some of them. And one of the big ones that everyone goes to is called Urban Moe's. And the owner of Urban Moe's, he has, I think, 5 different establishments in the area. So it's all part of what they call the Moe's universe. And all of his establishments, kind of everyone commingles, and there's always something going on, as far as food or entertainment. They have a lot of
gay Moe's?
It's sort of like, do you remember, you know, Hamburger Mary's, right?
I was going to say Hamburger Mary's or Rosie's.
Right.
In Fort Lauderdale.
Exactly. And think about it that way, where actually the one Urban Moe's used to be Hamburger Mary's, but everything is like outside. So you're sitting outside in like this tropical setting, and they have different themes, and they have, you know, drag shows, and there's just always something going on. And the cool thing is it's everyone, not only just the gay community, but all kinds, you know, everyone just hangs out.
I love it.
So those are our favorite places. There's like I said, there's 5 of them.
Yeah.
There's one that caters to Mexican food. There's one that's primarily for the lesbian community, but everyone's welcome. And then, so I would definitely say Urban Moe's, Moe's Universe. I'm giving them a plug. definitely look them up, because that's the place to go to find out what's going on.
Cool. I like it. Again, I love food. So yeah. Wherever there's food and drag, I'm there. Okay. Would you say, is it easy to make friends in San Diego? I know San Diego is such a big city. So do they have like meetup groups and stuff like that?
I think it is easy to make friends. There's a lot of community organizations. Politically speaking, a lot of ways people get involved. There's also, you know, just different community events that people attend. There's like, I know for people who may be of the faith community, there's an MCC church here, which is very popular, and it's one of the largest MCC churches. So I know faith community, there's ways to make connection. But yeah, we have a gay and lesbian community center, so it's a great place for resources, you know, for youth as well as, you know, older gays.
That's good. Very good. So tell us about the local economy. So we know that cost of living is up there, but tell us about the economy. What do homes, single family homes, condos, rentals, what does that look like?
Well, this is where your audience needs to sit down and buckle up, because yes,
you're in for a shock.
All of these great things I'm talking about. So right now the local or the median price home in San Diego is $820,000. Now, does that mean every house costs that? No. But just for example, the neighborhood I live in, the condos next to me, maybe 1,000 square feet, 2-bedroom, 2-bath, are going for $500,000. Okay. So you have your HOA fees plus your taxes on something like that. Your tax is $1,000 a month just for the tax. So it is very, very expensive to buy here. And I always kick myself, because when I first moved here, I think the median price home was $135,000.
Wow.
So it went up drastically. Like, for example, I went to a party the other night at a friend's house, and he lives right in downtown, right above the airport on the hill. So it's a beautiful view of the bay and down, gorgeous. And it's this old house built back in the 30s, like 3,000 square feet.
Wow.
Gorgeous old house, like a Victorian. We have a lot of Victorian architecture here. And I said to him, I said, buddy, I said, how much did you pay? Because I'm nosy. I was like, what did you pay for this? He bought it in 99. He paid $400,000 for it in 99. The house is worth $3 million now. Jeez. $3 million.
God.
And that's what, 22, 23 years.
Wow.
So price-wise to buy, it's very expensive. Now, rental, yeah, you can rent an apartment here. They have a lot of new developments, You're still going to be paying about $2,500 a month for a one-bedroom apartment. That's in the newer developments. There are some older, like mom-and-pop complexes you'll find online, or you'll drive through neighborhoods and you'll see a for rent sign. It's not listed. You might be able to get something maybe $2,000 for a one-bedroom, but it is very, very expensive.
Yeah, yeah. Did you buy or you rent?
You know what? I kicked myself. I bought twice and sold twice, but never bought again. And that's, yeah. So you renting. Know what? I'm renting, but I'm very fortunate where I am. I've been here for a while. And yeah, I wasn't wise in that area, but it's fine. It really is, because the way I look at it is everything that I got to do instead of being a homeowner was all the traveling I did and everything. I was like, it was much easier.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. So are you in a home or in a condo?
I'm in it's a three story. It's a basic apartment. It's like a townhome. Yeah. We have like a garage downstairs. There's a community pool. It's a gated area. There's about 120 units in it, but the view is that we have like $1 million view. We're looking right at the mountains. So we're very fortunate where we are. And we're up on the third floor. So it's like, we just close our door and leave. We don't have to worry about, leaving the windows open, just leave them open. And yeah, it's that we're very fortunate where we are. But if I were to look today, I'd probably be paying $4,000 for this place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know what, Stephen? Hindsight is 20/20. When we think about it, and let's say we think about, where are we going to wind up? And maybe we'll just stay where we are. But even if we're thinking about going, let's say, overseas or something, we don't even know if buying is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So because we kind of like try to compare what our costs would be between owning a home and renting a place, there's not much of a difference.
No, and it gives you the ability to like move and go. Like, okay, we're done. We don't like this. Let's try something else.
Right. You're portable.
Right. And instead of getting stuck in, okay, now we got to close on this place. And what if what the market's doing about an interest rate? And it's just,
Yep. Yeah. It's a lot of stress.
Yeah. There's advantages to both. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. How about arts and culture? Oh, before we get into that, sorry about that.
Yeah.
How about electric bills? Do you need conditioning that much?
Here's the deal. Electric and, well, this past month, like I said, with the June gloom, our electric bill, I think, was maybe $95. We didn't run the air, which
That's
isn't bad.
Good.
It's not bad. Run the air, add another 100 to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talk
about
Phoenix
technically,
all the time.
Technically, you don't need it. I mean, there's times I come home from work and I've had the windows open all day and it's like 73 degrees in here. I'm like, okay, that's doable.
It's perfect.
That's doable. Then there are times where I come in and it's 85. I'm like, okay, let me run the air for an hour. But you really don't need it.
Right. It's not like you're running it all day like
right.
me.
Yeah. It's definitely not like when you're where you are.
Yeah. Once you get here into the 100s, 107 or more, yeah. It starts getting quite a bit. Yeah, we have to keep the air on pretty much all the time. How about other stuff, utilities and stuff like that?
Well, water's not bad. I think we pay maybe $50 a month for water.
That's good.
Yeah, it's not bad. Utilities aren't bad. Gas, on the other hand, for driving your car.
Oh yeah,
we were during the height of it, we were close to $7 a gallon. Now I go to Costco, I think I'm paying like maybe $4.50 a gallon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's still, I know when I travel back east to visit my family in Florida, I'm like, what is this, like 253? It's like, are you kidding me?
Yep, I know. I know Florida's so much cheaper in gas. Phoenix is pretty much on the same level as,
yeah, you guys,
as California.
Yeah, yeah,
we're up there.
You guys went up there, yep.
Yeah, we're pretty much the same. We're like 450 right now too. So, okay. So comparable to where we are, I would say. Yeah. How about arts and culture? I know it's a big city, so you have a lot to offer.
We have a couple of, I would say, pretty famous places. Just north of San Diego is a community called La Jolla. Absolutely beautiful. It's a great little place to go for the day. It's maybe 20 minutes north of San Diego. Well, there's the La Jolla Playhouse. And La Jolla Playhouse, a lot of plays that make it to Broadway start at the La Jolla Playhouse. And there's, like, for example, I remember years ago we saw the musical about Donna Summer. Well, that eventually went to Broadway. Mm-hmm. So we have La Jolla Playhouse. We have in Balboa Park, we have the, what is it called? A Shakespeare kind of, what is it called? I forget, but something in Balboa Park where they have different events. And then we have I don't know if it's an organization, but it's called Broadway San Diego. And it's a civic theater downtown. And throughout the year, they have all the traveling shows that are on Broadway, the musicals, the plays.
Love it.
But one of the new events we had, and it's interesting, I was there last week. I got to see my classic diva, Diana Ross, perform live at the Rady Shell. So there's this new outdoor venue right on the bay. It's sort of like an amphitheater. And there I was, like, at the base of the stage looking up going, the last time I saw this woman, she was in Central Park in the pouring rain in 1983. She looks the same. She looks the same. And people were judging, saying she doesn't sound the same. In my mind, she sounded, it was like flashbacks to 83.
And don't lie to me. You were up there singing, I'm coming out.
Oh, the whole bit. It was, anyway, but there are a lot of events, you know, concerts, theater. We have a great art community in Balboa Park, which is sort of like...
I love Balboa Park.
Yeah, it's sort of like Central Park of San Diego. But there's, I don't know, 8 or 9 different museums. And interesting, every Tuesday, 3 of the museums, they rotate. They're free. So if you're in San Diego on a Tuesday, look up the museum schedule and see what museums are free in Balboa Park. Yeah. And then, of course, there's the San Diego Zoo, which is also in Balboa Park. And that's a must-see. Everyone, you got to do it. You got to see it. It's absolutely amazing.
I've been there. It was great. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. And Balboa Park, I really enjoy. And just walking around, in my younger years, I used to jog around Balboa Park because we stayed, I told you, we stayed in that hotel.
Yes, right down the block. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And which no longer exists, unfortunately.
I know.
But... Yeah,
As far as culture and arts, and it, there's definitely something going on.
Yeah,
you know, is it New York City? No, but it's still there's still a lot.
Has everything.
There's a lot of local theater companies, but yeah, there's always a lot going on.
I agree.
Listen, if Beyonce can stop in San Diego on one of her world tours, we're a good city.
Yes, you know, absolutely, absolutely. So tell us about the restaurant scene, foodies, and there's so many restaurants, but tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of restaurant scenes. Like I said earlier, you know, Hillcrest has a lot of great little local places, but La Jolla has some great places. There's some great places that are right on the, you know, beautiful views, like right on the ocean. Downtown, we have an area called Little Italy, which is fabulous for Italian food. We have the Gas Lamp area, which is downtown right by the convention center and Petco Park where the Padres play. Yep. It's literally restaurant row, and there's something for everybody. And then on the weekends, they close the street, so it's all pedestrians. There's no cars. But there's great, like, little hidden places as well. And since we're so close to the border, amazing, amazing Mexican food.
Mexican.
If you love Mexican food, yeah. So we have definitely a lot of high-end places, but also a lot of local places that, you know, there's always something to choose from. We went to one yesterday, right in our neighborhood here by La Mesa, It was a new Mexican place they opened. I was like, oh, let's try it. So, you know, there's always something going on.
I remember walking through Gas Lamp. That was, they had restaurant after restaurant after restaurant, but it was more touristy, I think.
It is more touristy, but the fun thing to do is like you go down there for the day and maybe you stop and you get a little something here, a little something there. But then you're going to find more than neighborhood places like Little Italy, where it's more residential, you're going to have more of the authentic
food. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Other than that authentic chocolate and Ghirardelli.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
That was so good too.
Yeah.
I told you I'm a foodie. That's why I can't lose weight. But that's another story. Anyway. So, okay, lots of, and there, I'm sure there are five-star restaurants too.
Yes, there are quite a few, quite a few.
Okay. All right. So tell us about, a little bit about the traffic situation, transportation. I know we're very car-centric here in the United States. So does San Diego have any type of public transportation system? Is it more Uber, more your own car, or... Tell us a little bit about that.
It's a little bit of everything, really. Like, for example, the area that I live in, if I drive to work, I work in downtown. It's 12 miles away. It'll take me maybe, and this is during rush hour, I'm a teacher, so I'm there in the morning and early afternoon. It takes me 20 minutes. Okay. However, I could get on a bus on the corner of my house and take it a few stops to San Diego State University and then get on our light rail system called the trolley. Uh-huh. I can do that. And it'll drop me off a block from work, but it'll take me an hour because of the way that it is. However, I have that opportunity in the event that I need
Something happens, right. Car breaks down.
Right. But there are ways you can get around. We have, like I said, the trolley system runs through all of downtown. It's now going all the way up to La Jolla, and it goes as far south as the border. Wow. So the north-south corridor is great for this light rail system called the San Diego Trolley.
Is it like a trolley like San Francisco?
It's not it's more like it's a light rail system. So it's not a subway, so it's not on the ground. Yeah, it's covered and they're like maybe three cars to each
light rail
and they run pretty much every 15 minutes.
That's what we have in Phoenix.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's all it's electric, so they're the wires are above it.
Right.
And but it's great like in downtown to get around. Like there are sometimes like if we're going to event downtown and we know there's going to be no parking, we can park in a lot right by the rail, get on the rail and then take it right there.
Yeah, that's
so
smart.
There's
you don't
ways
have to deal with that.
Yeah, and then you don't have, like when we went to Diner Ross last week, I said it's going to be a nightmare. So we parked by the stadium, which is in Mission Valley and area, and we took the rail four stops and we were right there and didn't have to deal with any of the traffic.
Yeah, that's smart. That's what we do. Yeah. That's what we do in the light rail here is going to the airport. Why bother putting the car in long-term or short-term parking when you can just take the light rail?
Yeah. And as far as like when you drive here, the beauty is the freeway system, I think, is pretty amazing. We have north, south, east, west, many different freeways to take. And the thing is, once you've lived here or you go to Google Maps or whatever and you choose avoid highways to get to a destination, there are so many other ways to get there if you don't have to take the highway. So if there's a huge accident, I'm like, okay, I know I can go. There's a lot of surface streets that you can avoid a lot of traffic.
Okay, here's the thing I remember when I was there, and I hate driving. I don't know, maybe it's a New York City thing, but when Peter was driving, my husband, and I'll tell you, that was no joke, that getting on that freeway.
Yes.
That was like, oh my God, what the hell is going on here?
Yes. Uh-huh.
It was packed with, and cars coming from all directions.
Yes.
And
yes,
I was like, holy moly.
Yeah. There are times, there are a lot of the freeways, if you're not used to it, it's quite overwhelming. But like I said, the surface streets can get you without having to get on the freeways.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times I do that on the way to work. I'm like, you know what? There's an accident. I know it might take me another 15 minutes, but I'm like, okay, I'm just driving on the surface streets and I still get there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way because I remember getting on that freeway. I'm a Jew from a Jewish guy from New York, and I was making the sign of the cross.
Oh yeah,
and I was like, oh my God, am I going to get out of here in one piece? But okay, okay. So, is there a lot of traffic during rush hour? Is it like in New York?
It depending upon where you work and where you live. So you could be going against traffic, but there are periods of the day. A lot of people will, when you see the traffic, most of our traffic is in the suburbs coming into the city. Gotcha. So you're going to see a lot of traffic. So if you're in the city, the core of the city, and you're only going maybe 10 or 15 miles, it's not bad. But if you're commuting 30, 40 miles from the suburbs, it's like coming in from Long Island to Manhattan on the Long Island Expressway.
Yeah, it's something that I want to avoid. So we talked about Hillcrest being walkable. Is there any other walkable neighborhoods?
A lot of areas do have a walkable trait to it. Like I said, North Park, Little Italy, downtown, there are areas. But like where I said, when we went out yesterday, we went to this place in La Mesa. It's just like this little village, and it's like maybe five or six blocks, and it's restaurants and little shops, and you park and you walk around. So there are little pockets that you're fine walking, because I know I've been like in places where there's no sidewalk, so people don't walk. But here there are little neighborhoods where people do walk.
Okay, cool. It reminds me of my New York, Brooklyn days.
Yeah.
I used to walk everywhere in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how about crime? I don't know where you live. It's probably more residential, like you said.
Yeah.
But is there a lot of crime in San Diego proper, or, you know, compared to where you are, and what type of crime?
Yeah. I mean, there are areas that you want to avoid. You know, there's definitely areas you want to avoid. But as far as personally, when I'm out, I feel safe in the areas that I go to. But then there on the flip side, there are some crazy incidents that you read about where you're like, okay, something happened, or, you know, just out of the blue. But as far as if I'm walking through neighborhoods at night, I know pretty much I feel safe. But there are areas definitely to avoid. But as someone who lives here, like where I live, I totally feel safe. There are, you know, the closer you get towards maybe more inner city, where it could be a little more areas that you wouldn't want to approach by yourself at night, even maybe driving through.
Right.
But you kind of know that when you live here.
Right.
Dicey. You know, and you watch the news, and when you hear about a violent crime, and it doesn't surprise you when they give you the neighborhood that it's in.
Yeah, that's pretty much it too. Any city, big city, you're going to have the areas that you just avoid,
right?
Or just want to avoid. Do you have a pet, a dog or a cat?
I don't. I did years ago, but I don't. Okay. Not anymore. No, that's not
your dog. You're dog free.
Yeah, I'm dog free. No.
Okay, yeah. But if you had one, you would feel safe. Let's say if you had to take them out to pee.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Two in the morning.
Oh
you'd
yeah,
feel safe by your
yes. By yeah, your, by where? Yes, for sure.
Where you are.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. How about? I know across the United States, the problem with homeless has been on the rise. There's now tent cities and all of these different cities. What's the homeless population like in San Diego, and is the government doing anything to help that situation at all?
Well, I know recently it's all over the news about homelessness in California itself, LA, San Francisco. San Diego, sadly, is right up there with them. The area that I work in, which is downtown, I can't even describe to you what I see on a daily basis driving to my school. It's literally tent after tent after tent blocking the sidewalk, so people can't even walk on the sidewalk.
Wow.
And it's block after block after block. And it gets to the point where I kind of just tune it out because it's
there.
But every once in a while, if I'm at a stoplight and I kind of just absorb it all, I'm like, this is so effed up. How is this allowed? But the thing is, it's not only that they're homeless, but the mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are so many issues with these people that are living in the tents. And the city is desperate. Like, for example, they just passed an ordinance this past week where these tent cities can't be anywhere near a school, a library, or whatever. Well, these are literally outside of my school. Like, the kids have to pass through these tents get from the trolley. And I think to myself, where are they going to put these people? What are they going to do? And they've come up with this place where they're creating safe lots, where it might be like an abandoned parking lot or some part of a city park where they'll fence in and let people pitch their tents and have the facilities brought in. Because a lot of the homeless, and I should preface, I've worked with the homeless community ever since I started teaching, because the school that I work at, we service kids that are homeless in kindergarten through 12th wow. grade. So I'm very familiar with the services that they have and the services that they don't. But a lot of people that find themselves in this situation, they refuse to go to the shelters because guess what? At the shelters, there's rules. Okay. There's rules. You have to be in by such and such a time. You have to do. And the shelters are very rigid where if you break the rule, there's a line of people that want to take this bed. So there you go. So I don't know. I don't really have the answer. I just know that having people living on the street like this is, it's really is criminal. I think a big part of it is, yeah, everyone that comes to San Diego, weather is great. The weather is great. They can be on the street 24/7, 365.
Right. It's not like Phoenix where they fry.
Right. But the other thing is, even if they get themselves together in some way of fashion, they get a job, they get the mental help that they need, whatever it is, they can't afford to find an apartment.
Right. It's so expensive here.
It's too expensive.
How are they going to become, right?
So they have, and it's crazy. The area that I'm describing, they have this, a lot of the shelters are there. Literally two blocks from the shelter, right by Petco Park where the Padres plays, they built thousands of apartments, like 40-story, 50-story high-rise apartments, full-on view of the bay. You literally, a two-bedroom apartment in there costs $10,000 a month.
Oh, my God.
$10,000 a month. And I think to myself, why can't they have affordable housing where, and I don't know, it's to me, it's very political. There's two sides of every story, but seeing it on a daily basis, and, you know, I'm different in the sense that, yeah, I see it all the time, but it's always on the news.
Right.
And not only in the downtown area, like I was saying Hillcrest earlier, sadly, there's a Starbucks right on the center of Hillcrest on Robinson and Fifth. So people that know that area, it's right across from the famous Brass Rail, which is a bar. They've been there since 1994, this Starbucks. They're closing at the end of the month because of the homeless situation. Because what happens is they have to lock their door. So you have to be buzzed in because the homeless come in, they camp out inside.
They go to the bathroom.
They had to take away all of their merchandise because people would steal it. Ugh. And then the other thing is literally, it sounds crazy, but there are times where I park my car there, I go in for coffee, I'd have to step over bodies on the sidewalk because they're sleeping on the street.
God.
So it's
a problem.
Gotten a lot. It's definitely a problem. It's gotten worse. And there's no way to sugarcoat it because sadly what's happening, they're not just in the downtown area anymore.
They're
starting to venture out. Like I was talking about the light rail system. Anywhere that the light rail travels, you'll have homeless people just hop on the train because there's no conductor. Let's get your ticket.
Right.
They'll hop on the train until they get kicked off.
Yeah.
And then when they get ticked off, they're like, oh, and they'll just set
just
up
wait
camp
for the
somewhere.
Next one.
Right.
Or they'll wait for the next one.
Yep. It's very bad. It's really bad. And I think, like I said, the city and the state, they're trying to do something because, to be honest, it's giving not only San Diego, but California a really bad rap. I mean, we used to love to go to San Francisco. It's like an hour flight from here. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I'm really going, I don't want to go there anymore, because the area that we used to love to go to, like Union Square and all,
it's all you full look of at homeless
it,
now.
It's all full of homeless. All of the shops are closing down. It's, yeah. So it's, really, it's not only a San Diego problem, it's a state problem.
It's a big problem.
Yeah.
And I think, where did we go wrong?
I remember
in New York in the 70s, Geraldo Rivera did a story on Willowbrook. Do you remember that? It was a mental hospital.
Yeah.
Mental institution. And when they closed that, they started closing all of these mental institutions throughout the country. And all of those people, where did they put those people?
Yeah.
They went out. They're out on the, you know, in the street. So I think years and years of no facilities.
There's no facilities.
For the system, it's just gotten out of control.
Yeah.
So it's sad.
I mean, that's definitely a downside of San Diego, but it's also, like I said, it's a reality of living here.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because we have areas, like I said, La Jolla, there's Coronado, there's very, very affluent areas.
Beautiful.
Well, let me tell you, you don't see homeless people there because guess what? Their community, their police, they don't tolerate it. They throw them out. And it's sort of like, you know, it really is a sense of, you know, money talks.
It is. It's political. Mm-hmm. It's where your taxes are going. And yeah, I remember walking through La Jolla. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful area. I remember going, seeing the
seals.
Yep. Yep. On the water, mm-hmm. with the little stinky.
Yeah. It's very smelly there.
I feel bad for the restaurants.
Yeah.
That I had to put up.
Yeah.
I heard that's under control now, but yeah, it's a big issue, but I'm glad we discussed that, got that off my chest. So before we go, is the government doing anything at this point?
Like I said, I know in San Diego, they just passed an ordinance last week where if they put it this way, they're going to start advising people if you're in a tent, if there are available beds in a shelter, you have to go. And they're going to warn them like three times. And then what's going to happen is they're going to start arresting them. So I think they're coming down with this heavy hand of, you can no longer live in a tent on the street.
Good.
They're just saying, no, enough is enough. There are the thing, like I said, there are shelters available, but they don't want the services because it doesn't give them the freedom that the streets give them. And like I said, if they have a lot of challenges mentally, they can't follow the rules. So not only are you going to have to provide them a bed, you're going to have to provide them serious, serious facility. Counseling and therapy and medication, whatever it is.
Yeah. It's expensive too. All right. Tell us about healthcare. Are there a sufficient amount of doctors to the people in the city? Do you have long wait times at all?
No, as a matter of fact, I think there's quite a few healthcare providers, and like I said, I'm fortunate. I have great insurance, and through Kaiser's very big here in Southern California. I think they're, I don't know how many states they're in, but I know they're in California, big in Southern California, and it's a great system. I love it. It's like, I've had my same primaries probably 25 years. The way that it works now, there's so many things you can do, telemedicine. You know, you can call up, do a FaceTime, whatever. You can get an appointment. You can schedule. It's a good system. It's a good system. As far as for maintenance, fortunately, knock on wood, I haven't had any, you know, major surgeries or anything like that, just preventative health care. I think they're great. But they're, like I said, there's Kaiser, there's Scripps, there's Sharp, there's several major medical facilities.
I remember seeing Scripps Hospital in Hillcrest, right?
Yep. So you know, I'm fortunate I have coverage through my employer. If I had to do it on my own, I wouldn't. I don't even know how much it would cost. I just know through, you know, employing, it's a pretty good deal I have. And for my husband.
Does that continue through retirement?
It'll continue till I'm 65. So let's say I retire which I'm going to before 65, it'll cover me until I get, what is it?
Medicare.
Medicare, yeah.
So with Medicare, though, does your primary become your secondary?
That's a good question. I know that they have this thing called, there's part of it. I'm doing a lot of research right now about that, but there are ways where I know I can pay into through my provider. It's called senior care or something, and I think it's probably that secondary bit. But I have to do a lot of that's a big piece of what's going to determine when I retire.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad when I have to think like...
Because we're like slaves to healthcare insurance.
Exactly. I'm thinking I would love to. And then I'm thinking, okay, well, that's for me. Well, what about my husband? And then and I'm like, oh. So it's like, do I have to work this much longer just so that I can have healthcare? That's pretty sad.
It is sad. Check it out, because we're similar, because my husband was a New York teacher. So how it progressed is I'm on his healthcare, and his healthcare, he opted in for like, so if we're retired, he's already retired. So he's not 65 yet. So he has his healthcare. He's like the same as if he worked full time in his school. But me, I'm working, but I am 65. So this year I had to go on Medicare. So now my Medicare is my primary, and his
is coverage,
my secondary.
Is your secondary. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So literally I pay nothing. I mean,
you're fortunate.
Yeah. It's Medicare picks up pretty much everything, and then whatever they don't pick up, the secondary picks up, and then I really don't pay much at all.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten a bill. In fact, I recently had some medical issues with my back, and in the past month, my bills start coming in,
right?
And I see them, and it tells me Medicare paid this amount, we paid this amount, you pay zero. And my bills literally over the past month have been over $10,000.
Wow.
And I paid nothing. So look into that.
Yeah. Like I said, that's a primary factor on going to decide on when we're retiring.
Yeah. It's something, unfortunately, and we have such good healthcare also, it's a blessing in one way, but it's a curse in another way, because you don't want to give that up either.
Right. You don't want to give it up. You're like a slave to your insurance.
Exactly. So if we wanted to move out of the U.S. to anywhere, we would have to give up this healthcare, and I don't think we're doing that.
Yeah, and then you just, you know, your mind goes, oh, great, the day that I retire and I move, I'm going to have a heart attack. So, you know, I'm going to really need it.
Right. And we're so fortunate with this healthcare. And also, we just found out, even if you travel with this healthcare, they cover us as if we're in network wherever we are in the world.
Right.
So,
which is nice.
Which is really good to have. So to give it up, it's going to be very difficult if we ever decide to. But I don't think we are, because, again, we're slaves. But okay. So is there anything in San Diego that you don't have that you might have had in New York, South Florida, that you wish you had in San Diego, like a bagel and a schmear?
Well, there are certain things that I think the longer I've lived here, the more, I think maybe early on when I first moved here, there were things that I missed, but living here for so long, I'm kind of just used to what we have, but there's nothing really that I miss from back east. You know, nothing that I miss. The only thing I really miss about Florida is the ocean temperature, like being able to go in the ocean. You can't go in the ocean here.
Right.
I'm not going to put on a wetsuit to go in the ocean. No, it's too cold.
It's too cold. I remember, where was I? Pacific Beach? Maybe one of those beaches. And I just put my feet in the water, and I was like, holy shit, this is cold.
Oh, yeah. And then the famous, did you go to Black's Beach? You know about Black's Beach?
No.
Well, for your listeners, Black Beach is a very famous beach. It's a nude beach, and a lot of the gays go there. But to get there, It's by Torrey Pines, the famous golf course.
Yeah.
You have to like hike down this trail. It's it's treacherous to get there. And once you're there, you're like, oh my God. And if you want, you just take off. And it's like people just walk along the beach.
Nobody else would go there.
Right. And no one sees you. So it's great. But then you're like, oh my gosh, I have to climb all the way back up. So if anyone is planning to go to Black's Beach, just realize it's quite a hike to get there.
You know, they put the gays, I always say this, they put the gays in the corner where it's so hard to get to.
Yeah.
Where was I? Oh, like, I don't know. You remember like either Reese Park?
Oh, Jones Beach.
Jones
Beach. You had to go to Lot 6.
Oh my God, you had to walk
all the way.
Holy crap.
Yeah. You walk for an hour to the end.
Where are we walking to?
Because of the sand dunes. You had to go to the dunes.
Right. And then you're so tired after a day at the beach just sitting in the sun. Yep. You just want to go back to the car. And it takes forever.
Yep.
Oh, God. Those are
nice. Lot 6 at Jones Beach.
Yep. You remember. Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. So, all right. You don't miss anything. Not too bad. I really don't. I just miss Broadway.
Yeah.
You know, just be able to go to Broadway. We have a local Phoenix Theater, and there are wonderful, wonderful shows there. But, of course, it's not Broadway. So that's about the only thing I really miss.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Maybe go on the tree in Rockefeller Center during Christmas time. That's about it. But I can watch that on TV. What would you say are the cons? We did go over a few cons. So what would you say are the cons living there? Besides, well, we talked about cost of living and the homeless. Any other?
You know, from me, the main con is, since I grew up on the, and you might relate to this, I grew up on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. My family's 99% of them are back east. The con is it's so far away. Like, it's a 3-hour time difference, you know. So for family and, you know, on a personal level, it's like when I want to travel, it's like, oh my gosh, it's not like I can get in the car and just be by my family. I'm one of 6 siblings and we're all very close. And the joke is like, none of them ever come out here. So I'm always flying there. So I would say that's the biggest thing is geographically, when I think of it, it's like, wow, I'm so far away from my roots. You know, I'm East Coast roots.
Right.
But that would really be the biggest one. Yeah.
So 6 siblings. My husband has 6 siblings. Mm-hmm. Do you have any gay siblings?
No, I'm the only one. One
You're
out
the
of
only
6.
Gay? Because he has 2 guys, 2 girls, and 2 gays.
Wow, that's pretty good.
His brother's gay. So that's why I was kind of curious about that.
No, nope, I'm the only one.
You're the token.
I'm the token, the middle one. Yep.
Very good. So in wrapping up, what would you say to our audience if they're thinking about relocating to San Diego?
Have a very robust portfolio because it is not cheap. But the thing is, I would say to anyone, spend time out here before you make any sort of major move. Spend a week, spend a month, do an Airbnb, do something. Live, you know, come out here as if you lived here and really see if you like it. But again, if it's a retirement place where you know your income is limited, it's going to be a struggle. If you have not unlimited, but if you're living comfortably and you can afford the prices, like I said, sadly, it's very expensive for a house, but there could be people who have a lot of equity in the home that they're currently in, and to them, that's nothing. It's like, okay, I can pay cash for that, or I can put down 80%. So it really depends on everyone's situation, but just because the median, like I said, is 850 or 825, whatever it is, doesn't mean that's what you're going to pay. If you're willing to live a little further out and maybe 30 minutes outside the city in a residential community, in a condo, there's ways to do it. It's doable. And like I said, there's ways you can travel around. And then the beauty is like San Diego Airport, it's right here. You can hop on the plane and go pretty much anywhere. You know, there are a lot of pros, but again, it's really do your homework and figure out if it's really something you can afford.
You know what? So if I lived in San Francisco all my life and I wanted to move to San Diego, it'd probably be cheaper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like I said, there are some people that they have a lot of equity in whatever they're doing right now, and San Diego would be cheaper.
Yeah. If I did, if I lived in Provincetown.
Yep.
It's not a cheap place either, and I wanted to move to the West Coast, San Diego might be the place to go. Yeah. So everything is relative, I guess. It depends upon, your income, but you also get what you pay for, I think. I don't know. Whenever I talk about different places, and it's the gays come and gentrify, yes. And then it's expensive. But again, it comes down to you get what you pay for.
Very true. Very true.
Yes. So thank you. I really enjoyed this podcast. I love San Diego. Thank you so much for bringing your expertise to our community. And is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, just I really enjoy it. It was a nice trip down memory lane for me having this conversation with you. I was like, oh, okay. And it's just interesting. Hard to believe that I've been here this long in San Diego. But it's just nice thinking back and looking back on all that I've done, places that I've been, and it's crazy. And should we tell everyone that the two of us went to the same high school?
Yes.
Yeah. It's, interestingly enough, a very small high school when we spoke last week. It's just beyond crazy that the two of us went to the same high school in New York City. 4 years apart, but the same school.
Yes. It was called City as School.
Yep.
It was an alternative high school. I graduated there in January of 75, and Stephen, you were like four years.
79, yep.
Yep, so it's unbelievable. It's such a small world.
It is.
We come from,
It's a small, what it is? It's not a small world. It's a small gay world.
It is.
When in the gay community, somehow we're all like just one link. Somehow we're just linked differently, I think.
We are, and talking to you brought back so many good memories too. It's just, I don't know. It's just that New York 70s and 80s thing I just relate to. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you very much.
Yes, I appreciate you inviting me.
Thank you.
All right.
And thank you for the podcast again. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.